Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
And now we'll be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 18 through 26. Just then some men came, carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say stand up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your home." Immediately he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This is kind of an interesting verse for the question of why Jesus. But there's many sermons in the kind of cortex or kind of the annals of John Wesley's sermons in which he refers to Jesus as the great physician. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, refers to Jesus as the great physician, that person who came to cure us, to cure the souls of all humankind. This title, I think, is especially fitting for this story because it comes from the Gospel of Luke. And Luke was thought in the ancient world to be a doctor. Paul refers to him in one of his letters as the beloved physician. And so Luke is a member of the early medical community around the Mediterranean. Having once been on a pre-med track myself for the first 2 years of college until I couldn't cut it and went to, you know, religion for that, to talk about the question why Jesus in the medical field is kind of a strange brew. Medicine is susceptible to creating what we call the Messiah complex, that complex that is, I can fix everything for anyone at all times. I am God over my patients, as we see in shows like Grey's Anatomy or ER. Anything that they believe they have ultimate power over anybody that is on their operating table. But in the Gospel of Luke, we find a different kind of physician. We find a physician who has left his work. He's traveled with the great evangelist Paul and writes the most detailed and longest account of Jesus' works here on earth that we have. I always say about scriptures like this or about people like Luke or Paul or these people, the disciples, that if anything, Jesus had to have been just the most amazing man to have ever walked the face of the earth for so many people to just give up everything that they had, write books that would risk their lives, do things that would risk their lives. And some people say it's a lie. But about everyone will agree, everybody will agree that Jesus was a really good guy. Everybody will agree that he was nice, that he was caring, that he can teach good lessons to anybody who want to listen to him. But many, or some, I should say, will ask, why Jesus? Why Jesus for the Son of God? Why Jesus for salvation? Why Jesus for healing? They don't grasp that or they don't choose to accept it. Many of them is simply not grasping the idea. Some people ask this question more in a cynical way of a cynical tone, as they feel Jesus is more of a placebo, the opiate of the masses, as Mark says, for our fear of death. As we find out, we're not immortal. We cry out to some mystical being or mystical force that is our last and only hope when we can't do it ourselves. But the main reason people, and especially young people today, ask this question is they just don't see the practical value here in this world that we live in now. I think it's partly to blame because we are blessed as a nation, and that's, you know, we've worked hard to do that. But ask this question right now on the plains of Africa, and we'll burst into rejoicing at the name of Jesus. They will burst into song, they will burst into dance, they will burst into worship at the name of Jesus. They are very, very devoted to Christ over there right now because they see Jesus as the provider of life. He's the defeater of evil because they just barely, in many places, have enough to get by on. They're constantly at risk of being harassed or oppressed by the government powers that be. They get Jesus because they live all those things that Jesus came to get rid of. In Europe and America, we have it pretty good, or at least most of Europe, we have it pretty good. It said in the paper this morning, I think it was in the points section, it was talking about that even someone on unemployment checks in America, so someone on an unemployment benefit contract in America right now is wealthier than 80% of most countries. So to say that we need to depend on Jesus for anything has become a rather foreign concept to us. I can make money, I can get what I need, I can put a roof over my head, and most of us can even spend money with no other purpose than simply enjoying ourselves, like a baseball game, just for fun. In the medical field, this issue of dependence is eternal. It will always be there because in the most troubling of times that many of us have been through, broken bones, measles, infections, cancer, those kind of situations, we turn to the great healer in a white coat, either him or her, and say, fix me. Make me better. You are totally at the mercy of what they can do at that point. In the story of the paralyzed man in Luke 5, it intrigues me in this way because when I go to the doctor and he says his version of rise and walk, which in doctor speak is take 2 aspirin, see me in the morning, you know, you have no problem with you, go ahead. The doctor gives me that command. I can see the results immediately. My headache goes away in 4 or 5 hours, depending on if it's extra strength or not. My bone is set back in place. I have a cast. Something heals within a span of time that I can see the difference that it's making. Whereas Jesus' first comment in this is, your sins are forgiven. And that's hard to see. That's hard to prove. That's hard to grasp empirically in our scientific world as we've come into. It's hard for a mere mortal to accomplish. So little did they know who Jesus really was. I happen to have a close relative of mine, my brother, who's an orthopedic surgeon who works around McKinney and Allen and Plano. And I asked him a question. I'm going to show you a video clip of his answer. And I said, being an orthopedic surgeon, being someone who has literally made somebody walk again or made somebody upright again, what's the difference between you healing somebody and Jesus healing somebody? Let's take a look at his answer.
Anytime I hear somebody talk about me healing anybody or something like that, honestly, it's a kind of a foreign concept to me. To start off with, certainly any knowledge or talent or anything that I have to help out is certainly God-given, and I recognize that. Even beyond that, just from even if you look at it from a scientific standpoint, my job as an orthopedic surgeon, I put things back the way they're supposed to be, but I don't do any healing. The awesome mechanism of the human body that God created, the biology of it does all the healing itself. Anything that we put into the body to try and fix it, it's all temporary. If nothing heals, if given long enough, it'll come apart. But the awesome power of the body to heal through the biology that God created is what sustains the work that we do. I tell my patients all the time when they come back after surgery that, hey, we put it back where it's supposed to be, but the rest is up to you and God. God does the healing process, and they put forth the work in rehab, and that is what gets them better.
My brother is one of my role models for life. He helped me out with a lot of different things, and it's just an awesome answer that when you talk about his spirituality, he has the same kind of view, and that God put things in place, and the doctors are just there to put them back together and let the things that God put in place do the job that God put them there for. And I think that transfers into so much of our lives of how we try and get in God's way a lot. And we talked about this with the Holy Spirit, and the theme just is going to keep coming up in a lot of the sermons that are during the sermon series, that what Jesus does is get things back to the way they should be. Because to imply that God is somehow generating something new or that something needs to change is to imply that God made a mistake in the first place. And I don't believe that God made a mistake to begin with. See, what Jesus does, we call redemption. There's a lot of re words in there. Re is that prefix that means again. It means back. It means return, return, resurrection, redemption, renewal. Jesus is about putting things back in order, which for many of us is a world that we've never seen before, and we call it new life because we've never known it. The paralyzed man in Luke's gospel, the blind beggar in Bartimaeus, all of the healing stories that are these physical ways that Jesus puts somebody back together, that the way that we call normal in the New Testament, the healing goes well beyond just the physical healing. That's what we like to see, though. I mean, we pray for miracles. We like to see that physical healing, but it goes so much beyond that. And a good doctor also understands that medicine goes well beyond just the Advil that you give somebody or the cast that you put somebody in. For my brother and the other doctors, they talked about if a shoulder doesn't work, you put it back together so you can do your job. If the back doesn't work, you put it back together so you can play with your kids. If cancer is present, you do all you can to remove the bad cells so that the rest of the cells can keep functioning, so that life can persist, and so that you can be the image of God you were created to be. Relationship, as we talk about theology, is also vital in the body. There are 50 to 75 trillion cells in your body that form up lungs and bones and hearts and brains and all the different things that make being the image of God possible. But all those cells work, they're a little microcosm that work together in many different ways. And medicine's job is essentially to put them back in order the way that they were created to be. Medicine's job is to seek and destroy the bad cells of cancer that come out, to remove those temporary things that come into our lives and does everything so that you might still be with your loved ones. You might still be the human that God intended you to be. The healing stories of Jesus are significant in the same way, but they go so much farther, because Jesus doesn't just restore people to health. He restores people to wholeness, which is a concept we don't talk about a lot in science or medicine. At this time, a person with leprosy or someone who was blind, someone who with a physical ailment, was seen that they had sinned. They were being punished for something they had done. And if you were this bad off, then God had turned a blind eye to you. And so with the laws of uncleanliness, the laws of the temple, many of these people, the blind beggar, the paralytic man, were not allowed to go into the temple. They were not allowed to go into the presence of God because they didn't want to corrupt the presence of God. And so therefore they were kept outside the temple, as Bartimaeus was. They were kept on stretchers in people's homes. The lepers were even cast off into valleys and, you know, outside of the city, because no one wanted to associate with these people. So it's a catch-22 that you have to be healed by God because it's a sin, but you're not allowed to go to the place where God resides, to where sins are forgiven. And so these people are found to be outsiders. I'm thankful today that churches across the world are opening their doors to those with special needs, those with handicaps, those amongst us who are the outsiders, who don't fit in. And I would encourage us always to evaluate our own ministries to make sure that the outsiders are not neglected in any way. Because Jesus helps the outsiders. Jesus is the one who helps this paralytic man. When no one else around there thinks he has any hope, Jesus performs one of the most practical miracles that you ever see in any story or any scripture. Beyond the rise and walk, go home, take your mat with you, he stands in front of them and says, your sins are forgiven. Now, we're confused just as the people are by this, because who has the power to forgive sins but God? We believe Jesus is God. That's who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. But that's something we can't grasp. Because how many times do you know someone who has gravely sinned? You know the inner workings of that person's soul, and you know what they've done. And they found Jesus, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, and we don't believe him. We can see a leg that can walk again. We can't always see a soul that has been healed. But Jesus takes this man, and not only says, rise and walk, take two aspirin in the morning, he says, your sins are forgiven. And so in one breath, in front of the holiest people, the Pharisees, all the people who are gathered in this house, in one breath, he not only restores this man's hopelessness, this man's physical ailment, but he says, you are part of us. You are back to normal. You are the way that you are meant to be. And I have to believe that it wouldn't necessarily even matter if he hadn't healed the paralyzed man. He would have still included him, because that's what Jesus is. Jesus is hope. Jesus is salvation. Jesus is healing in a way that goes well beyond whether our legs work or not. I remember when I first got here, I was visiting with a woman who sadly had suffered her first miscarriage while she was carrying her second child. And unfortunately, miscarriages seem to happen often, but this was the first time I'd ever known somebody who was going through it. And so with Lindsay being pregnant and me being overprotective for my own unborn daughter, I decided that this woman, I had to cure her. I had to make sure that this would never, ever happen again to her, as though I even had that power. After a month of checking in with her regularly, I came to realize that she would never get that specific child back. Even though intrinsically I acted as though I could bring it back. Just if I preached Jesus enough, somehow that child will live again, that child will be here, and that child will be born. But I started to realize that that's not going to happen. She would always have the physical pain that comes with a miscarriage. She would always have the spiritual pain of not getting to love that child that she had conceived. She admits to blaming God when she knows it was just a bad circumstance. And she missed to yelling at God, even though she knows God loves her and her child in heaven. But through the yelling and through the hurt, through alienating herself from her church family, from her own firstborn child, and feeling like no one knew how she felt, she met a group of faithful, hospitable women here at the church. And they were Christ to her. She realized she wasn't a failure as a woman or built wrong. She wasn't being punished for sins or cast out of God's sight. Instead, she got more love from Christ and Christ's body because she was the one who needed the most healing. She was invited by the body of Christ back into the fold, and her life and attitude became joyful again. Despite being forever sad about her lost child, she didn't forget. She was just healed. She even started to smile again. She even found the strength to worship again. And to this day, she still believes that out of that, Jesus saved her. The argument in this story for people who might be outside the faith or who might really not grasp Jesus, the argument is that Jesus didn't have anything to do with this. If Jesus were really the Son of God, if Jesus were really Jesus, Jesus would have stepped in and stopped the miscarriage. Jesus would have stopped all the sin. Jesus would have stopped the things that are going on in our lives that hurt us. But funny enough, in Scripture, Jesus didn't stop the man from being paralyzed. Jesus didn't stop the woman from bleeding. Jesus didn't stop the man from being blind. And Jesus certainly didn't stop himself from being crucified. But Jesus tells these people they are forgiven. For the woman I mentioned, she wasn't forgiving for doubting God. I think God has enough strength and power to handle doubt. She said she learned she was forgiving for thinking it was her fault. She said Jesus washed her guilt away from her. She was able to look her husband in the eye again as a true human being worthy of love and salvation and adoration and worthy of the love of God. Through Jesus, she was made to be a whole person again because Jesus told her so, much like the song Jesus Loves Me says, when many in our world would not. For the paralyzed man, I believe he's forgiven from his sin of hopelessness. I also believe that Jesus says your sins are forgiven because he wants to make sure that we know that he has the power to not only perform magical wonders of people walking again, that he has the power that this person is welcome in the temple. This person is welcome in all places. He is not unclean anymore. That through Jesus, anyone and everyone is welcome in the community of Christ. Anyone and everyone can gain salvation. Anyone and everyone is worthy to be called a child and a friend of our Father God. If you think that Jesus doesn't matter in these stories, then we need to reframe our way of thinking. Jesus is the great physician. He's healing our souls back to God. In many ways, Jesus matters as the intimate outsider as well. Because for all the healing stories, for all the things going on in Scripture, there's this argument that I could have done that. And that's what humanists have said. That's what people who believe in the power of the human. And I believe in the power of the human. I believe in the power of the human that God created us to be creators, that God created us to be intelligent, to be productive. God created us with so many gifts and skills. But there are people who say, I can do that myself. When it comes to building an engine, when it comes to doing technology, when it comes to putting together Fortune 500 companies, I believe we can do that somewhat ourselves. I believe we have the power to think. I believe we don't need necessarily this divine inspiration all the time. I believe we can act because God has given us that divine inspiration through the Holy Spirit to begin with. But what about when people aren't accepted? What about those people who don't feel part of a community? What about those people who don't feel the love of God? What about those people who need that? Is there any reason for us to love them outside of Jesus Christ? Because we talk about the goodness of humanity. And some people on one side will say we're totally depraved, we're sinful, there's no good in us. Some people on the other side say we don't need God because we are whole as it is. We have every rational capability of thinking, okay, I'm supposed to love this person because I'm not supposed to do harm because I'm a good person. What defines a good person? What defines a good person is that outsider. That outside standard that God sends to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at every form of ethics that's going on just about in the entire world, and you can trace it back to the tenets of Jesus Christ. Look at the laws that are established so that people will be treated fairly. Look at the laws that are established so that people will be included. Look at just someone's personal ethics of, I should be a good person. Even if they don't believe in Jesus, I guarantee you it traces back to somewhere along the line when Jesus touched the world, even if it was just in the incarnation and the crucifixion, because it changed the world forever. Because Jesus is more than just a nice guy. Jesus is more than just a doctor who can come and make you walk again. Jesus is the one who saves the entire world. And I don't just mean save as that we go to some pie in the sky heaven place, although I do believe in heaven. Jesus saves the world because he establishes a standard of goodness, a standard of there is no more unclean anymore. My sins have been washed away. I can be looked at as a child and friend of God. I need to be included in all people. I need to be included in the body of Christ because I am the body of Christ. Christ has taken my sin away from me. No more will I be laying on a mat, hopeless. No more will I sit in a hospital room thinking there's no hope. No more will I remain the outsider of a bully situation thinking I'm hopeless. That's why we combat those situations. That's why we tackle cancer in Relay for Life. That's why we tackle bullies. That's why we go after those situations of evil. Why we pledge for new members. Will you fight evil and injustice in the world in whatever ways they present themselves? Because Jesus came to save the world. And that standard of goodness is why Jesus matters right here and right now. That standard of goodness that there's no way we would come up for ourselves. Because Jesus isn't about survival of the fittest. Jesus isn't about stomping on people to get whatever we want. Jesus is about love. He's about community. He's about grace. He's about tackling evil. So if you're going to ask the question, why Jesus to me? I could say he's the Son of God. I could say he saved you from sin and death. I could say he holds the keys to heaven, and that's why you need it. But I think there's a better answer. Because I'm sure heaven is going to be the most amazing place ever. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But what does that matter to someone who's hurting right now? The answer of why Jesus is because he's the only one in all of the faith traditions or lack of the faith traditions, he's the only one in all of history who has come and said, your sins are forgiven, and I'm going to take them for you. He's the only one who has shown us what love is truly about and modeled it himself. And so why Jesus? Because he's the medicine that we all need to take. So I'd encourage you to look at your own lives, whether you've accepted Christ way back when, whether you accepted him yesterday, whether you never have. What is your standard of goodness? Where do you need to be healed? Because the only one who can heal is Jesus Christ. There is no power greater than him, and there is nothing that he can't handle. For me, why Jesus? The song goes, as 1 John says, because he first loved me. Let's pray. Gracious God, you have come into our lives. You have shown us the presence. You have empowered us to be so much more than we ever know we can, because we were created in your image. We were created as good. And so God, restore us to that image. Restore us to the life we're supposed to lead. Restore us to all those things that you had in mind for us at the very beginning. Let us not look for a new life. Let us look for the life that is in you. Let us look for the life that is relationship with you. And let us be that for other people as we practice the medicine of Jesus Christ that has healed our souls, and let us know that we are loved. And so let us sing praises now. And for any of those people who are hurting, who are questioning, who have doubt, Lord, I pray that you would come upon them and heal them. Maybe not physically, but they would know you're there. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysunc.org. Have a blessed day.